بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected Ulama Ikram, my brothers in Islam, today I would like to talk to you about the 31st part of a series I have started concerning Usul-e-Deen, principles of Deen, and today is the third part of Jannat. First of all, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Deen is easy, Shariat is complete. From the time of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, right up to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal sent down 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. And each one of them, they preached, propagated three fundamentals, three basics. Whether it is Hazrat Adam, Nuh, Musa, Isa, Dawood, Nuh, Yunus, Yusuf, Suleiman, Elias, everyone. If you check up Quran al-Kareem, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions 25 of them in the Quran al-Kareem. All of them talk about three things. One is Tawheed, second is Risalat, and third is Akhirat. Now these three technically have now been classified by the ulama as Usul-e-Deen, principles of Deen, or Usul-e-Islam, principles of Islam. Here you must understand something, that Hazrat Adam alayhi salam preached Islam. Every Nabi preached Islam. Islam is not from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the first man, from the first Nabi, from the first Rasul, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he preached Islam. Now concerning these three, Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat, in order to understand these three, if you want to have an understanding of these three, there are three factors attached to each one of them. One is Zat, second is Sifat, thirdly is Af'al. Zat meaning the being, the essence. Sifat, the attributes, the qualities. Af'al, the actions. Now if you want to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to understand His Zat, His essence, His being. Then His Sifat, His attributes. And then His Af'al, His actions. What He did, what He is doing, what He is going to do. Then you will have some understanding of Tawheed. If you understand about Anbiya alayhi salam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, understand His Zat. What is He? Who is He? Then His Sifat, His qualities, His Osaf, attributes. And then His Af'al. What He did, what He is doing now, and what He is going to do. Akhirat. The essence, the Zat of Akhirat. Sifat of Akhirat, attributes of Akhirat, qualities of Akhirat. And in Akhirat, the Af'al. What is happening in the akhirat? What is happening? At the moment, Jannat is in existence. Jahannam is in existence. Barzakh, life, the grave is in existence. Araf is in existence. No such thing as Jannat is going to be created. Created it is. It is there. What's happening there at the moment? Huh? And when we reach there, inshallah, all of us going Jannat, what is going to happen there? Now, that on its own is a lengthy discussion, how to recognize it. But once we recognize these three basic things, and we understand the zat and the sifat and the af'al of all these three, then every deviated guru we can outline, we can remove. Because deviation comes about, Qadiani, Shias and Salafis and Mamatis, all these, they come about when they have differences in belief concerning the zat and the sifat and the af'al of these three. In Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. So if you study it properly, you'll be saved from the deviations of the age, of the day, of the hour, which is being perpetrated under our noses. And at times, unfortunately, we abate it and help it. And the radio stations, they are at an utter loss. They promote anything that moves. Shiaism, Qadianism, Salafism, music, everything they promote. And we do not do anything about it. Be careful. If we do not join what is good and forbid what is evil, then the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. But that is why the Sheikh lately spoke, Sheikh Sabuni, he stated clearly that the chaos and the catastrophe in Syria is because there was no enjoining, no forbidding what is evil. Enjoining what is good, alhamdulillah, it's been done on a good scale. Tabligh Jamaat doing it fairly well. But forbidding what is evil, unfortunately, we do not do. And forbidding what is evil, when we don't do that, then the azab of Allah comes. And when we do that, then unfortunately, a lot of people think that, what are we doing? And in the entire world at the moment, there is not one group, not one group working systematically or in an organized manner, in a professional manner, forbidding what is evil. And all this chaos that you see in the whole world is because forbidding what is evil has started. People walk naked, woman, man walks naked, we do nothing about it, we say nothing about it. Dancing is taking place, we say nothing. Now this 30-40 days going to take place, our children, what are they going to be doing? Already they have been found drunk on the beachfront. And if you speak about it, then they say, no, the Maulana is getting rough a little bit. It's our children. Our children are taking these drugs. Our children are getting drunk. Our children are going to Balito for the dances. Our children are going to the Margate for dancing. And if someone speaks about it, no, don't say anything about the children. These are our children. So what? Our children, we don't want to take them to Jannah. So understand, forbidding what is evil is essentially, primarily the responsibility of the ulama. And it is your responsibility to side the ulama, to give side with the ulama, and tell the ulama, forbid what is evil. Otherwise, get ready for the azab. Get ready. We think in South Africa, we are very pious. So we think no azab is coming here. On the other hand, we are not forbidding what is evil. Viciously, systematically, we are not doing it. Nevertheless, if we study the Jannat, if we study Tawheed, Akhirat, Risalat, we start understanding the Haji Imdadullah, Muhajir Makki, Rahmatul Alayh. He stated one very nice important fact in Ziyaul Qulub. We translated that. Radiance of the heart. The masterpiece of the tasawwuf. He says, what a nice difference he made. First time I saw this and read it. About the difference between a Nabi and a non-Nabi. A Rasul and a non-Rasul. He said that a Nabi, he gets his status, and a Rasul, gets his status because they have understood the Zaat of Allah. They have understood the Zaat of Allah. And a non-Nabi, we cannot understand the Zaat of Allah. A non-Nabi becomes close to Allah. A non-Nabi or non-Rasul becomes close to Allah, gains proximity to Allah by studying the Osaf, the Sifat of Allah, the attributes of Allah, the qualities of Allah. So if we study the attributes of Allah, inshallah we'll become pious. To understand Zaat of Allah is very difficult. Anbiya alayhi salam, because Allah has blessed them with intelligence and marifat and recognition, that is why they are able to understand the Zaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are not in that position to understand Zaat of Allah. We can understand these sifat, the qualities of Allah. And the more you understand sifat of Allah, qualities of Allah, inshallah you can become pious and righteous. But any effort is made in that direction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat. When inshallah we'll go to Jannat, we'll have these boons and favors. It is stated every other thing in Jannat is gold. The roads are made of silver. And there is fragrance all the time. The clothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us will be studded with pearls, with rubies. The clothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be giving the woman of Jannat will be 70 pairs at a time. And it is stated that when you look at them, then you'll be able to see the whiteness of their skin and the brightness of the skin passing those 70 veils of clothing. And the clothing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us according to one narration is that it will never decay. That in Jannat our age will be 30 to 33. According to one hadith that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it will never age in Jannat. One old lady came to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that will she go to Jannat? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Then she was weeping bitterly. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the sahabi, go call her and said that no old people will be there in Jannat. Meaning everybody will be young in Jannat. Everybody will be young and the age will not go less. The height of a Jannati according to one hadith will be 60 cubits, the height of Hadrat Adam alayhi salam. And everybody will be at that height. When it's at that height, no one will recognize there's something different here. We are at the same height, that's why we say, okay, there's no difference, no oddness. So when everybody is tall and high, and standing high, you won't find the difference. It is stated in one hadith, there'll be bracelets, people will be handsome, and bracelets of gold and silver and rubies and pearls will be given. It is stated that in Jannat, the beds of Jannat, that will have sprigs of gold. It is stated there'll be gardens, and underneath those gardens there'll be rivers flowing. There'll be rivers flowing. It is stated that there'll be various rivers, rivers of milk and rivers of honey and rivers of wine, non-intoxicant wine. It is fortunate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allow us to drink wine in this world. Otherwise I promise you every other person should have been drunk. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us that the day of judgment and when we reach Jannat, then we'll drink inshallah. Then we'll be able to drink whatever we want to drink. There'll be a lot of springs and a lot of fountains and a lot of beauty. It is stated there'll be couches and people will be able to sit there and recline and look at their spouses. And look at their pure spouses. It is stated that ordinary Jannati, he'll have 80,000 attendants. 80,000 attendants. It is stated ordinary Jannati, he will have, as soon as he reaches Jannat, as soon as he gets there, that to welcome him, they'll be having two of his ladies of Jannat will come to him. Two, minimum. And when he is in Jannat, they said, minimum of ordinary Jannati have 72 of these spouses. Besides his wife. And there'll be no quality, understand this, there'll be no quality of jealousy in Jannat. There'll be no quality of hatred in Jannat. There'll be no quality of malice in Jannat. There'll be no quality that, oh, the wife will say, how he got so many? Yeah, you take one more other wife, you got difficulty. Isn't it? Why? Because quality of jealousy exists here. But there, no quality of jealousy. So when there's no quality of jealousy, then she does not mind where you're going, how you're going. But see how beautiful it is. Which is stated in a hadith, that you'll have these ladies of Jannat, but all separate, and all in mansions. All in mansions. And all in beautiful mansions. So if this is happening, then they will not be able to even see what is going on. It is stated in Jannat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the Jannati that I have given you, are you satisfied? Say, I am happy. Say, you want more? But that person will be so happy, because it is stated that a person, when he reaches Jannat, and for example, he had a tough time on earth, he had difficulty on earth, he was not happy on earth, he was poverty stricken on earth, but he never disobeyed Allah, and he was going towards Jannat. And he goes to Jannat for a moment. He just goes to Jannat for one moment. It is stated that being in Jannat for only one moment, he'll forget about all the hardships he experienced. Finished. This for one moment. But contrary to that, if a person has to go for one moment to Jahannam, and he was living a life of sin, but he thinks it is luxury, he was thinking and living a life of transgression and comfort. He thought it's comfort. He was living a life of transgression, disobedience in the surface of the earth. And he was thinking wonderful, but he goes to Jahannam for one moment. Then all the so-called comfort he had, he forget about it. Only one moment of Jahannam. It is stated that the lady of Jannah, that if her dopatta, if her headscarf has to come into the earth, just fall onto the earth, then it is better than the earth and all what it concerns or contains, that only that one span. Stated in one hadith that when a person is riding a horse and his whip falls down, the whip falls down, then the amount of space that whip occupies on the floor, that amount of space, in Jannat, that amount of space is better than the world and what it contains. That amount of space. So who do we want to go there? Who doesn't want to go there? Everyone wants to go there. But our amal have to be in conjunction to where we are going. If our amal is something else, how we are expecting to go into Jannat? It is stated, hadith narrator, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates. Also Abu Sayyid Qudri, Hazrat Abu Sayyid Qudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates. Also Hazrat Abdullah bin Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates. And sometimes Sahaba, they should narrate. And while narrating, they should laugh also. They should laugh. So other Sahaba say, that don't you, the Sahaba should say, that why you don't ask me why I'm laughing? Why? Because once Jannati, when he came out of Jahannam, he come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Jannat looks full. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that why don't you go away to Jahannam then? I give you a place there 10 times bigger than the earth in Jahannam. So he begins to laugh to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you joking with me? And Nabi Akram Sa'asub should smile at the time. And his jawbone should be visible that time. So Sahabi also, when they should narrate exactly how they saw Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do it. And they talk of once a person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him for now testing and for examining, now accountability. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, see, I want to change all your sins into sawab. I want to change all your sins into sawab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one can question him. Allah, no one can question him. He can do what he wants to. So this person will now say that now his sins, he's seeing his sins being converted. And when he's seeing that, he's getting happy and he's getting delighted. And When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stops, then he tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, I think you're forgetting something. Because all the time his minor sins were going. So he's trying to remind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that look at my major sins. For these minor sins that you're converting, I'm getting so much of sawab. Then look at my major sins. Convert my major sins, then those I'll get a lot of sawab for. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will smile. Then one person, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one person will be taken out of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, take him out of Jahannam. Because he's got one mustard grain of Iman. Remember, die with Iman. Do not let anyone take away your belief structure. Have your beliefs perfect. Correct according to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. Your belief goes, you are gone. Then your Amal comes into no value. That is why the Amal, the good actions of a non-believer, Ulama Ikram write, they are rewarded on this surface of the earth. This surface of the earth. Now, respected elders, that this person here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the malaika, go get him out. When they get him out, he'll be charred. His whole body will be burnt. But it is stated in Jahannam, Jahannam will not burn that area where a person should prostrate. That area will remain intact. But the whole entire body will be burnt and black. So when he will be brought out, when they start taking him out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him that, what do you want? What do you want? Say, Ya Allah, I want one tree. Just one tree. Only one tree. Give me one tree. Say, and what else? Say, some one tree so I can have some shade and some water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, no problem. You won't ask me for anything else? So no, I'm not asking for anything else. Only one tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him one tree. So he'll sit under the tree and enjoy the water. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately in front of his eyes will sprout another tree. No more beautiful. So this person will ask Allah, I want that tree too. I'll go under that tree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, but you said you don't ask for anything else. So no, I want that tree. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I give you the tree then. Will you ask for some more? Say, no, I only want that tree. It's okay, take the tree. No problem. So you go to that tree, drink some water, then you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, how about another tree? Another tree I want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you see, you told me you don't want anything else. Now you ask me for something. So no, I want another tree. So give me another tree. This time, the tree right near Jannat, the door of Jannat. Right near there. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that, he say, right. Are you satisfied? So I'm happy. You want to ask for anything else? No. Then this person would start hearing the sound, the beautiful sounds of Jannat. Because he's outside Jannat. So he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I want to go inside now. I want to go inside now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say that, but you told me you don't want anything else. Why are you asking for this? He said, no, I want to go inside. Now I can't resist this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, yeah, go inside. And when he goes inside, then he tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, any space for me? Any room for me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that minimum you will be getting is 10 times more than what you got on earth. The whole earth meant more than that, 10 times more than that you take. And he'll say that this is what I'm getting minimum. Are you joking with me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, there is no joke today. Then when Nabi Akram Sarasam began to smile and Sahaba began to smile narrating it, so we should make every effort, respected elders, that there are two roads are open for us. And we are intelligent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us good elders to follow. I was sitting one day in one gathering in the ulama in Stanger. Maulana Yusuf Tutla was present. So I said something. And I told Maulana Yusuf Sahab, if I'm wrong, he might correct me. I said, Maulana Umarji Rahmatullah Alayhi, he sent Maulana Yusuf Tutla to study. Maulana Yusuf Tutla, he sent Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Alayhi to study. Maulana Yunus Patel sent Rahmatullah Alayhi sent me to study. Now, respected elders, these elders have come, they are gone. And unfortunately, we are not writing about them. Maulana Qasim Sema Rahmatullah Alayhi came, gone. Maulana Ansari Rahmatullah Alayhi came, gone. Maulana Abdul Razak came, gone. And here in South Africa, we are not writing about these pious personalities. The history of the legacy of South African ulama, we do not write. And this is, we are going to be questionable. Our children will forget. Ask any child, do you know Maulana Ansari Rahmatullah Alayh? Maulana Umarji Rahmatullah Alayh? Who, what, when, how, when they came? And here, when they pass away, you write one page. To write one page about these great personalities, I think we are doing injustice to these great personalities. There should be ulama writing about them, books about them. One thing, you give credit to the Indo-Pak subcontinent ulama. An alim passes away, within a month you have a biography of that person. And next month you have the speeches of that person recorded, written down. Yeah, a good ulama pass away. Nothing is written about them, nothing is spoken about them. And how are we going to encourage our children to follow? How are we going to encourage our youth that these were the elders that passed? These were the services. This was their education. These were the services and khidmat of deen. So we should think about it. And we should prop up the ulama, sponsor the ulama, and make them do this research so that we can also understand the history of the legacy of the ulama of South Africa. And make every effort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take all of us to Jannat. And Jannat is there for taking. It is we have been created for Jannat. Remember that. And every person sitting here understands something, that we have got the potentiality of going to Jannat. Every one of us. Allah has made us like that we can go to Jannat. So let us make an effort and go towards Jannat. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.